Well, hello again, George Hofford. We have yet another very special program today. It's, and again, to remind our audience, the local matters is a tradition here in our community region. It's been around for several years. It's a program where every day we talk. You have a different host every day, and I get the good one. I get the one about the who, people in our community that daily form the tapestry of our community and region, and people who really in their own way make a difference. And today I've really got a young difference maker who I've just met, Jill Stonemaker, Learning Tree Agency, Cumberland Heights. We're going to get into all that, Jill, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So here's what we're going to do, and I told you off air, I love to talk, as you can probably tell. I don't listen very well, but this is about you. This is about, it's the spiritual thing of life. And Billy Graham, who am I? Where'd I come from? Where am I going? Meaning, what's important? My form, what, you know, and we're going to start with age birth, believe it or not.
I love it.
And I want you to go into your birth and early years and formative years and faith and parents and friends and passions and discoveries, and we'll go from there. So welcome.
I love it.
The floor. The mic's yours.
Thank you. Well, anybody who knows me knows this is right up my alley.
Okay.
I love talking about this stuff. And I honestly don't really get to answer the question very often because I like
you're
you.
Usually on this side.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
That's
so
me.
This is fun, and good. I really appreciate you having me on. So I was born in North Carolina,
okay.
And I'll just kind of logistics real quick. Born in North Carolina, we moved to Toledo, Ohio, when I think I was about three. That's where my first memories are, and my dad was going to law school. That's why we moved to Toledo. Mm-hmm. We then moved to Brussels, Belgium for a year where
Ooh.
My dad got his international law degree.
Man.
And I apparently spoke French. I don't anymore, unfortunately. But but that was cool and definitely, I would say, even from a young age, experiencing a completely different culture
yes.
and language and all of that really shaped my foundation. And then we moved from there to Michigan, lived there for about 4 or 5 years. And then when I was nine, we moved to the amazing Cookeville, Tennessee.
Wow.
And I consider myself a native. I mean, I feel like
sure,
nine is
sure.
pretty young. So,
sure.
But yeah. And I, let's see, went to Allgood Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
I started homeschooling in seventh grade. And I think, let's see, how do we do this? I think I started in seventh grade. My parents were kind of like, let's try this homeschooling thing.
Sure.
It was like a real big kind of new thing at the time. Everybody was trying. The next year, we all went back to public school, and I lasted a week. And I was like, I want to go back to homeschooling.
I understand.
I'm a kind of a daydreamer, you know, and so mm-hmm. the homeschool environment was really, really good for me. And so my parents said, okay. So I homeschooled through high school. I went to Tennessee Tech on a piano scholarship for
Whoa.
About a year and a half.
Okay.
And then I got married very young at 19,
mm-hmm.
Had five children.
Wow. Okay.
I homeschooled them. I was a full-time stay-at-home homeschool mom. And then I went through a divorce about 5.5 years ago.
Okay.
And that has just really shaped me. It sounds weird, but I think anyone who's been through anything difficult would
no
say
question.
The same thing. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that I went through something difficult.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Because it's really reshaped the way I look at life and,
yeah.
you know, all of that. So that's kind of the logistics. I'll let you ask me some more questions because there's a whole lot I could go into.
I told you I was going to talk a little bit.
I love it.
You know, as you said, my generation, a lot, you know, the Waltons, we watched TV and we saw everybody. It was a wonderful, idyllic, you know, Andy of Mayberry and
oh, yeah.
the nuclear family, and we all, you know, we're all in church and we're all doing this and we're all, you know, and so there's a world view that was wonderful, ideally, but it wasn't really real, you know, and then we get out on
yeah.
our own and we begin to discover, and you're in a, we're all, you and I talked off air, we're both seekers and searchers and discoverers. So look back at the richness of your growing up.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I am so thankful for my parents, because they are also seekers and free thinkers. You know, on one hand, I did grow up in a pretty classic, I would say, Bible Belt environment.
Yes.
You know, went to church, loved church, youth group, and
still
all that.
Do, yeah.
But again, my parents always encouraged us to think for ourselves. We're a very creative family, and I don't think any of me or my siblings have ever felt like we couldn't pursue something in the arts, for example. That kind of scares
That's
a lot
great.
Of parents, you
sure.
know. But they also let us, when I was 9 and 10, I got to go over to Switzerland and spend several weeks over there. And then when I was like 15 and 16, I think I went to France and Switzerland and spent like the entire summer working with a church over there in a missions program. And my sister was an exchange student in France and Normandy. And
well,
so
you've had a wealth of international experience at a very young age.
Yes. And I just think that opportunity, I just don't think you can really travel and not have affect the way you see the world and the way you see life and people and culture. It kind of helps you be a little more open-minded.
Yes. And, you know, we were probably similar. I was the one I'm the oldest of five. But I was always the one that asked why.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in more structured societies, why may not be a good question to ask.
Right.
Instead of healthy, it was, you know, it does. So anything else in your formative years, friends, relationships?
Based off of what you were just saying, I think you'll find this interesting. So probably about a year ago, I was going through I have like a bin of all things from my childhood. And for some reason, I was going through it. And I found this like Winnie the Pooh journal. I think I was like 11 or something. And in that journal, there's an entry where I got like deeply philosophic.
Oh, man.
And it was affirming to me. I think I said something like, there's like the me, you know, that you see in the mirror. And then there's like the me, like the mind,
That's right.
like what I think. And then there's me,
That's
like
right.
the essence of me.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I was like, did I write that at that age? But again, it was affirming because I've always been a really deep thinker, almost to the point where it feels like a burden, where I'm like, why do I always have to ask why? I just want to be simple. But now I don't feel that way anymore. I don't feel like it's a burden. I have this curiosity, and I love the pursuit of knowledge and growth and things like that. So some of I think a lot of what I went through and, you know, just going through a divorce and kind of growing into the woman that I am today, in that journey, I learned to kind of surrender the burden part of it.
Yes.
And instead just say, you know what? One, I'm not God. I'm not, right? That's the whole, that was the first sin. It wasn't the apple. It was Adam saying, I want to be like God and know everything.
Yeah.
And I realized,
I want free will.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm not supposed to know everything. And so I finally kind of released that. And now I'm just like, I'm just ask questions all the time. Curious. It's so much fun.
Curious about your five children. Tell me a little bit about them.
Man.
I think that's great. I'm watching you. I wish the audience could see you light up when I ask that question.
Yep. It's, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, from the time I was a very young woman, I always said, I want to get married and have kids. Like my life's purpose.
It's a calling.
It is. And I did. And I have a son and four daughters. Today, my son is 19. My daughters are 17, 15, 12, and 10.
Wow, okay, good.
Yep. And, you know, I would say today I'm very fulfilled in my career, in my pursuit of growth in my career and all of that. But I still, especially on the days where I feel like, am I in my purpose? You know, and
sure,
I am.
Sure, sure.
But you still have those days where you're like, am I really doing specifically what I'm supposed to do? And when I think about my kids, I just have complete peace and meaning, like we were talking about earlier. Joy. I'm like, that's my purpose.
Amen.
That is my purpose.
Amen.
They're amazing. They're amazing. I mean, again, you know, we went through a divorce 5.5 years ago, and one, the grace they've had for me to watch their mama like go through some hard times, lose herself a little bit, And kind of become the woman I am today. They have just shown me so much grace. And
role model.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for that. And they have just like blossomed in an environment that can be difficult. I mean, they go back and forth between me and their dad's house, and I just think they're amazing.
That's incredible. That's great.
Yep.
You know, we got a little bit of time left in this segment, but anything else in your formative years, growing up, Tennessee, anything that you want to share?
I love these open-ended questions.
Then we'll get to you today.
Okay, I love this. This is a good precursor to the next segment because my dad is a federal criminal defense attorney.
Okay.
He's also an artist, a poet, an author.
Oh, sure.
And I didn't realize until, honestly, the last year or two, how much just being around him has shaped me as a person.
Sure.
Sure. You know, obviously he would never talk about specifics about his cases or anything like that, but we would still hear about law and politics. We knew, you know, what cases he was working on. It was usually like, representing someone from a gang or a murder trial.
Every day you're dealing with a different part of society.
Well, and pretty serious stuff. And I think that kind of helped me become comfortable talking about and being around, you know, things that would have to do, for example, with the criminal defense system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part. That's a really big part of my childhood that was subtle, but that has really impacted me.
Sure.
Yep.
So we're just getting started here, and I wish we had all day, but we're going to go. George Hallford with Jill Stonemaker, very interesting young person, and we'll be back very, very soon. Thank you. Well, we're back. George Hallford with Jill Stonemaker, not Stonemaker.
Yeah.
Okay. Stonemaker. And man, we've got off to a great start. We've got her from birth to the present almost. As we call it, a native, even though you moved here just a few years old. So, Jill, let's pick up there. Let's just talk about your life unfolding. You've talked about your children and your past. Today, where are you today, and what are you doing, and how is it different than what you've done, or whatever you want to talk about?
Yeah, thank you. Anybody who knows me knows that I've kind of got my hands in a lot of things, but they all are interwoven.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm currently working for Tennessee Voices, which is an organization that supports people struggling with mental health.
Great.
However, I just accepted a new role with Cumberland Heights as the business development representative here in Cookeville.
Great.
So Cumberland Heights is our headquarters, our main residential center is in Nashville on a beautiful 177-acre piece of land. But we have 13 or 14 IOP centers across the state, and we've got one right here in Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just needed somebody that's kind of plugged in here to really help bring awareness to Cumberland Heights and the services that we offer. So I'm still like learning about the organization and the heart of it, but I know this, it's extremely well established. We've been around since, I want to say, the 60s, 66, I want to say. The company culture, I think, is amazing. So mm-hmm. I'm just super excited to step into that role. I also do a lot of other work in recovery. I've helped develop an initiative called Emerge. And Emerge is a weekly gathering. Once a week, we gather over at the Chi Alpha building across from the Hoop at Tennessee Tech.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we just feed people in recovery. We have pool tables, a big TV a sports game on, music, ping mm-hmm. pong, and people just come in and have a good time. It's we're trying to get our nonprofit status and all that. So it's something that it's a big missing piece in recovery that we're trying to address. Like there's, you know, AA, NA, life recovery, all of that. And all of those are like
great
heavily
things.
Promote those. Yeah. But there's not really a whole lot of anything to do for just socializing. Like if you're in recovery, what do you do when you want to just go out and have fun?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's
community.
It is, exactly.
Building community. And there's a big community of folks like that in any community in our region.
100%. 100%. I also own my own business, Leaning Tree Agency.
Okay.
Leaning Tree started out as a music agency, but there was something that just wasn't quite fulfilling me about that. And so it's very hard as an entrepreneur to allow yourself to pivot. But I know that the great ones allow that, you know. And so I thought, okay, just like let this thing become what it's supposed to be. And I have really fallen in love with, honestly, what we're doing right here, conversations and storytelling. And so I am starting to pursue really building content for people that with a core of the storytelling aspect. So like, for example, if I and I've got an incredible team, videographer, producer, and all that. If we build a piece of content for you that's promoting a political campaign, your business, you know, anything like that, if you're a nonprofit, I want to focus on the people, right?
Yeah,
the people behind it, because that is the heart of any pursuit, really. And so that's what I'm doing. I've also got a show that falls under my Leaning Tree umbrella called Woman. And that's a big part of who I am, too. Woman is a live show. We've just had one. It's a fairly new thing, but I am in talks with people in Nashville to do the next one there in Nashville. Yeah, it's something I want to do over and over again in multiple cities. But it is a music conversation show. Someone pointed out to me once that it's kind of like church, but not church. And I thought that's a great way to look at it, because we start the show with live music. We allow the music to help us break down those walls, get us like emotionally and mentally ready for a really tough conversation. The conversations are built around things that are not easy to talk about, like addiction, abuse, poverty, things like that. And then we end the show with more music. So that's kind of like what you did church, right? So yeah, it was the first one was an incredible experience. It was very healing and empowering. And like I said, it is specifically for women, with women, about women.
That's great. You know, coincidentally, this morning as I was coming over, I was listening to, I don't know, some talk show, and it said, for the first time this last month or so, streaming, more people are watching this type information type things than the traditional networks and podcasts. All that. It's a total new day, obviously. I'm stating the obvious. About how we get and disseminate information. And it's a whole generation. It sounds like you're right on point for this.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. And I think, too, I think live shows are so important. I have a podcast that I'm just now starting called The Woman Podcast. So I'm all about the streaming space. But there is something about when when you are in an experience with you know, 100, 200, 500, whatever the venue size is, with all those people, and you are sharing that experience together in person. Just nothing like it.
Yeah, we miss that in the other formats that we don't get in live.
Right. Yeah. But life is dynamic, right?
So it is, and we don't always have time for life.
And I mean, I think a good brand is going to hopefully serve all of those areas, right? Streaming, live, social media. Like, you kind of got to put it everywhere. But
so you're on the cutting edge of a lot of opportunities.
That it God feels is, like it, yeah.
And we go back to you're being led. You can feel it. You can tell it. We talked off air. You're being led.
Yeah. And I feel, you know, as a purpose driven person, I think for me, the indicator that I am in my purpose is a deep sense of calm and peace.
Yes.
I remember when I, kind of leading up to that first Woman show, which was a pretty big thing for me to just take on, and all of a sudden I was like, I'm doing it, you know. But the whole process, I just had so much peace. And the day of, like, I would typically have just a little bit of jitters, like, which is normal, right? I had none of that. I was just so calm. And
amazing,
I just,
isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, man, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Man, we're moving along. I wish we've got some more time.
I love it.
But it's This is where we are today as a community. I was thinking as you were sharing, and I think the last several years or few years have really realized what a serious problem with addiction, problems with, that are beneath the surface in society. They've been there. And, we've just glossed over. No, yep. We haven't focused on these things that mean something that we got to do.
There's the stigma. Yeah. And I think we are in an age, especially with streaming, like we talked about, where we're talking about things more. We're getting it out in the open.
And what you learn is we all have
– Everybody, yes.
We all have challenges. I say we all. We do. We're alive.
Yeah.
We are alive, and we're human, and we learn from it. And so it's not as – it's not as simple as that, and I want to come right back. We'll start in just a moment or two. George Hallford with Jill
Stahlmaker.
Back soon. George Hallford with Jill Stahlmaker. Now we're getting to the good part. You know the old thing about if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Oh, my gosh, I've been there.
We're going to talk about the plans, your future, personally, professionally, obviously, you're a mother, and you're a professional, and you're right in the middle of it all. And you've got, with God willing, a long, productive, healthy life ahead. So let's look in the crystal ball and just talk about where are you going, Jill?
Thank you for asking me these
questions.
I don't get to be on the
end of it. I understand that.
Man, I think I've learned God's probably rolling on the floor because I've tried to tell him my plans many times.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll just say this. And again, this is all God willing, right?
No question.
I've been thinking about going back to school. I cannot get the nudge to go away.
Lifelong learning in some form.
Yeah.
Some fashion.
Well, and like I'm kind of like an AI nerd too. I love all that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, do I need to go to school? Like, we got all this AI coming. But my dad gives me the most amazing advice, and he's like, listen, you gotta scratch that itch. Like, just scratch the itch and try it.
Sure.
You know, so I have applied, and we'll probably start chipping away at a degree in history with a minor in political science.
Yeah.
And I may go to law school. We'll see, because I love politics, man. And it's not just – I don't just love politics. I love – or rather, I have a sense of duty.
Public policy. That's not – that's politics, but
– Right.
And that's where I've been with the chamber – for 40-some years, is public policy. It's about making things better, but it's not a Democrat or Republican thing.
Correct.
But ultimately, that's our system.
Correct. And it affects us. And, until you go through it, often you don't realize, oh, my gosh, it really does matter who we're electing as judges, who our representatives are. You know, it matters. I just went through a divorce, but let me tell you what, when the state of Tennessee essentially put a dollar amount value on me as a wife and mother, I'll be honest, it bothered me.
I understand.
It wasn't what I thought it should be, you know? And I just feel this constant nudge to be involved.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams said, love him. He said recently at an event I was at, he said, I believe, and I hope I don't get this wrong, government can either happen to you or it can happen for you.
That's right.
And I thought, man, I want to be somebody of the latter, right?
That's right.
I really do feel like I've had so many, in my case, women that have come before me not that long ago to help me have the rights and opportunities that I have to pursue a fulfilling life. And I think I need to continue, working hard to make the world a better place for women, but for everyone. I also do some work. I've only been once, but I'm going back soon. There's a prison in Florida that I have been volunteering with, and I'm actually helping develop a part of their curriculum called the Story Writing Project, and it is where we help these men write their personal life story. And many of the men that we're working with are lifers, like serious offenses.
Sure.
But the prison that they're in is an incentivized prison, so they're there on good behavior and it's one strike and you're out. That prison, man, they've got so many programs that really, and this is just my interpretation of it, an observation, are really giving those men a sense of personal agency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that the men have actually helped develop that program. When they first started it, which was a little over a year ago, the founders of the program, which is called Amplify, went in and sat about, I think, probably 10 men down and said, we want to know what you need. Can you imagine being incarcerated for, a lot of them have already been there for 40, 50 years. Yeah, and saying, hey, I care about you.
That's right.
What do you need to grow and become the person you really deep down want to be, you know? And so while I do focus a lot on women, I'm also just passionate about helping all of us, whether it's you and me or – but I am pretty passionate about, like, the incarcerated community. And just people that are in the margins, you know, really helping them find themselves and realize, hey, like you are deserving of a wonderful life.
Yeah.
And all the shame and the stuff and the trauma often that has gotten you into a place of addiction or whatever place you're in, you are still worthy, you know, and I don't know. I'm so thankful for this country.
Yeah.
You know, because we really are the only place in the world, I feel like, that's the heart of,
that's right.
of who we are, is everybody is deserving of opportunity, you know, the pursuit of
totally
happiness.
Get it. I
mean,
I get that.
I love it.
I've got this, and I told you I wasn't going to talk very much, but a saying that I've read somewhere, it might have been Freud or Jung, only the wounded physician can heal.
In
life, I don't want people who are textbook, and they're some great academics. I want people who've been there.
Yep.
And I don't mind. Bobby Davis.
Yep.
Has been there.
Yep.
And there's others, and I'm not pushing one church over the other, but when he shares and other people share their life story, that's who I want to talk to and learn from and listen. And there's other stories too. So there's a gift. There are gifts that we get to share and to serve. And the prison ministry in this community and region is really good. I mean, the community of faith has really embraced the community. And I believe that's correct. I'm dealing with it from a long way.
Yeah.
Well, you touched a nerve. You can tell that. And there's such a need for this. I mean, it's about people. It's connecting. It's community.
Yeah. Well, and like we were talking about earlier, one way to you know, address some of these issues is one, conversation. Have a conversation about it. That's step one, is being willing to talk about it. And just the storytelling, right? Like, I mean, if you think about what has progressed the world, and it doesn't even have to necessarily be with words. It can be through art and all of that. But it is the story of mankind that has played out over and over again. And that's why I've chosen, again, Lord willing, to study history, because history means the story. You know,
and we do repeat it. It does repeat itself.
Well, it does. And
to
I think
a point.
It can.
I mean,
if you can learn, like, the whole of history and have kind of a good, like, you know, 30,000 foot view of it, then I think you can hopefully recognize patterns of human behavior, for example. And because I'm a realist, right? I think especially people that are kind of have that fire, you know, and we're like, we want to help and fix things and all of that. That's great. But I think the best way to do it is with a realistic view and approach. Another thing I would like to think I get from my dad, and I'm always trying to improve upon, is diplomacy. You know, and I think that good diplomacy means that you do have that whole picture view, that you can validate two opposing truths, for example, and say, I actually see that from your perspective.
I see your point. Yeah.
But I also see this, and how can we come to a mutually beneficial, you know, arrangement or agreement or something like that. So I love a good debate, negotiation.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you accidentally, and I said, another story about, quote, me for another time. But we moved to I moved to Tennessee in early 70s, mid 70s, and Tennessee has had the reputation of being a left of center, right of center state. We've elected great people, that moderates. We're usually, now the world has changed, we've changed, but it's more of that. It's debate and point counterpoint and public policy, and I can disagree with you without being disagreeable.
That's right.
I can go have a beer after we debate or whatever, and that's been the American way.
Well,
in some way, we've got to get back to that. Now,
yes,
that's not rocket science.
It's not. It's not. And that's what I was saying earlier. I remember my dad would say, and I guess maybe we were asking him questions or something, but as a kid, I thought, how can you go have lunch with the prosecuting attorney?
Yeah.
You know,
in
my little mind, I'm thinking that's the other side. And he was like, no, no, no. And I've learned from my dad, and I hope this doesn't sound naive. I have so much to learn. But, especially for a defense attorney, you're not just defending your client. You're defending the system.
The system.
The system through which that person's life is going
through. That's exactly
right. And the other person's life. It's about the balance.
That's it. So we're beginning to wind down a little bit. You've shared God is not through with you yet, young lady. He's not through with any of us yet.
No.
But anything else about the future or where you're going? You shared a lot.
I mean, I've got other irons in the fire that maybe we can talk about sometime. But no, I'd say that overall my passion is more and more focused on policy,
yes,
policy making. I have such a strong nudge there, and
it's people.
It's people. We have to interact with each other, and we are interdependent. You know, I've started, like you probably, you know, I ask the questions like, well, is freedom really free, right? If I'm free, are you free?
If you're free, am I free?
Right. And so, you know, there's just this delicate balance of interdependency that I would like to help get right. I would like to help, I think, just our community, wherever God puts me, to kind of heal, you know, and to be able to have conversations with people of opposing views. I just think that would be amazing if we could get back to that.
You know, in addition to only the wounded physician can heal, the other one, somewhere in school, Maslow's theory of needs. You know, it's very hard. If one day you're in that level five and you've got it all, it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
The needs of someone who's at a level one. So it's much more complicated. I'm glad to get to know you, and certainly this has been a great program. George Hofford with Jill Stahlmaker. See our audience soon. Thank you for coming.
Thank
Bye.
You so much.